The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of Sports Talk 1240. I'm your host, Paul Spiteri, coming to you live from Babylon, Long Island, on a very busy sports day. Obviously, started out real sad this morning. We'll talk about Jose Fernandez in a second. And if you're a Jets or Giants fan, it certainly was extremely sad for different reasons. But let's start out first. Anyone wants to call into the show tonight, give me a buzz. 631-888-8811. Join me on Sports Talk in the first half hour, because in the second half hour of the show tonight, 9:30, I'll be joined by Mr. Terrence Pot Roast Knighton, who is currently at home in Arizona and was looking at the games today. We'll talk a bit about his recent time with the Patriots and what he's up to, what he's looking for in terms of potential next gig, and we'll talk to Mr. Knighton at 9:30. Looking forward to that. Seems like a fun guy between his commercials and all the other stuff he does. Should be a cool guy to have on. So welcome to the show. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been on. Want to start out first, obviously, talk about Jose Fernandez. Obviously sad on a million levels. You know, when anyone at a young age passes away, right? I mean, there's heroes that, you know, fight the wars for this country that, you know, perish consistently, unfortunately, that we don't hear about. And, you know, I just look at anyone who goes too young, way before their time, to be sad, right? Obviously, Jose Fernandez being, you know, extremely popular baseball player, extremely talented baseball player. But again, you know, guys, it just talks about life, right? And you take chances and risks. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm sure, you know, the being out on a boat that late at night is just, you know, it's sad to see a young man like him go through what he went through. You know, anybody who defected from Cuba and survived the things that he did to come to this country, it's just sad on a million levels. You know, God bless him and his family. Condolences to everyone. Yeah, it's just sad. It's just anytime you lose somebody way before their time, it is sad. So prayers to everybody who's close to Jose, and you know, hopefully, you know, they'll recover from this in time. But truly, you know, a sad thing this morning to hear. Switching to the sports front, though, there's a lot going on, right? I mean, we got the Mets, who are just unbelievable, in my opinion. I hate them one night, love them the next. I was at the game last night. My daughter was fortunate enough to dance on the field with about 5,000 other cheerleaders, so it was quite fun to see. And then it was 10-0 in the fourth inning, and I was back on the Grand Central quickly to be home by 9:30. But, you know, the Mets are something else, right? We'll talk a bit about how they outscored the Jets. That's kind of the joke of the day. But the Mets are still alive, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. Football, boy, if you're a New York football fan, you know, I'm 45 years old. My dad's 73. I've been literally having to make the call that I had to make to him on the way to the studio tonight way too many times. It's just, Dad, is there anything sharp in the house? Are there any ropes, any gas? Because the Jets did it again. And I don't know how much more my father's heart can endure what the New York Jets did to him today. Just an absolute atrocity in Kansas City. Talk about barbecue. The Jets were barbecued by the Kansas City Chiefs today. Awful, awful performance. And, Dad, if you're listening, I hope you recover. I know it's tough. But, hey, you've been doing this since, I don't know, 1960-something. You should be used to what happened to the New York Jets today. And if you're a New York Giants fan, I mean, you know, listen, I've been a big supporter of the Giants this year. I like the Giants' chances. But you know what? The Giants are a couple of plays away from being 0-3. And guess what? You're at Minnesota and at Green Bay the next 2 weeks. The Giants could be very much looking at a 2-3 start. And lucky they're not 0-5. If they come out and listen, they got to win one of these next two games. I think Minnesota is going to be a real tough task for the Giants next week. Eli, obviously, if he plays like he did today, that game will be over quickly next Monday night in Minnesota. But the Giants are real disappointing. You know, you got a home 2-0, all the momentum going your way. You can't lose to Washington, who's absolutely played like crap the first couple of games. Terrible job by the New York Giants today. We'll talk a bit about that in a second. More again, you want to call in 631-888-8811 before the break when we bring Mr. Knighton on. Let's talk about the Mets for a second. right? I mean, the Mets with these injuries, it's just unbelievable what has gone on, you know, in City Field. The one thing I really got to just talk about, I honestly don't know what they're doing with their medical staff. You know, Mats is pitching. Oh, sorry, he's not pitching. And by the way, he's out for the season. I don't understand how their pitchers go. DeGrom also, he was supposed to pitch the next day. Next thing you know, they're announcing he's out for the year. There's just something wrong with the way they announce the injuries over there in Citi Field. And honestly, I know sports teams cover stuff up. I mean, clearly, you know, I mean, even Noah Syndergaard, how do you miss a game for a strep throat? My kids get strep throat, you know, like once a week, right? And I'm not saying they're pitching a Major League Baseball game, but this guy's an adult. I mean, is it that bad he couldn't pitch? That shocked me, you know, and sometimes I always wonder, is there really something else going on with these guys? Just like Harvey had his urinary tract infection in spring training. Yeah, I'm sure it was a heck of a lot different than that. But it's a very bizarre world if you're following the New York Mets. But they you know what? They are unbelievable in terms of resilience. They could, after losing a tough one last night, right, come back down 10. They score 8 runs, lose by 2, had multiple chances to win that game last night, and then go out and put up 17 on the Phillies. So you think about the way the Mets finished the season against the Phillies, they outscored them 25-0 in the last, like, 15 innings, which is absolutely amazing, right? And good for them for hanging in it. By the way, Terry Collins, Manager of the Year, conversation over. This guy is getting them into the playoffs, which, by the way, they are going to make the playoffs. I truly think they're going to make it this week. And he has done it. It's losing 3 of his 5 pitchers. I mean, if you count Wheeler in there, 4. It's unbelievable. And I don't care about his bad decisions here or there. It's a long season. You're always going to get crap if you're a major league manager. Terry Collins has done a great job. Leave the guy alone. Everybody picks, I should have did this, should have did that. Yeah, no one's perfect. I'd love to see all of us go to work every day, and if someone's sitting there watching me click the wrong button or type the wrong thing on a proposal, oh, you know, you suck. You know what? Give the guy a break. He has done an unbelievable job with what he's been handed this season. Right? So I'm kind of tired of giving poor Terry Collins a lot of crap. He's going to make mistakes. We all do. What he has done to put this team in the position they're in, unbelievable job. Really unbelievable. And I said, I think they're going to make it. I think they'll be home for the wild card. And they certainly can beat the Cardinals or the Giants, even if Gazelman pitches or whoever they got, who's, you know, essentially they're meant to put in a warm body on the mound. Right? That's what they're doing in that playoff game. And then if they get past the wild card and go play the Cubs, listen, I think it's going to be too much to beat the Cubs, but wouldn't it be unbelievable if the Mets and this ragtag bunch beat the Cubs? God, that would be absolutely, the sports story of the year if they could pull that off. But listen, let's get to the playoffs first, and I think, you know, I think the Mets will get to that second round and end up with the Cubs. The Yankees, listen, exciting finish. You know, Gary Sanchez, great job, obviously. I still think, Yankee fans, you are a hell of a lot of pitching away from being good next year, right? I think that a great run, you know, is a magical finish for them after all the deals. They don't have enough pitching. They need to find some pitching. We'll see what happens in the offseason for the New York Yankees. Obviously, Sanchez will be the story, and a couple of the other young kids. But, hey, listen, they gave you a couple of good weeks where you thought baseball would be over for them at the trading deadline. But, you know, good for the Yankees. And, you know, obviously Sanchez, a great story. We'll see what happens with them. On to football, folks. And, listen, I mean, let's talk about the Giants first. I mean, Eli Manning blew that game for them, right? There's no question about it. He just played poorly. That pick he threw in the last drive was just absolutely a dreadful decision. I don't know what this guy's thinking. He's thrown a bazillion NFL passes, and he throws that ball that, I mean, literally, guy's not even open. It's easy to sit here and say that, but clearly Eli did not have a great game. And this is a Giants defense, the new vaunted Giants defense, gave up 400 yards to the Redskins. I mean, Kirk Cousins, you know, was awful the first 2 weeks, and they kind of lit him up today. And listen, they didn't finish a lot of drives, right? They had to kick, you know, this Hopkins, I looked in on the fantasy scores, he had to kick like 14 field goals today, right? So they were consistently down in Giant territory, and just not a good enough job at home. The Giants got to beat this team. That is just, to me, it's inexcusable. If you're going to be a football team that you've got to worry about in the playoffs, you're going to make that next step, this is a game you have to win. You have to win that game, and they didn't. Disappointing. Long season ago. But, again, looking ahead, New York Giants fans, the Vikings and the Pack on the road the next 2 weeks. Packers look like world beaters today. And the Vikings, you know what? The Vikings really are unbelievable. When you think about what they did the last couple of weeks, all the injuries. They went to Carolina today and smoked the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, folks, I'm telling you, I'm not a big fan of this team, right? I think the Panthers might be heading in the wrong direction, right? And they gave up Josh Norman, they just discarded, whether it was for money or for other reasons. But the Panthers are heading in the wrong direction. And you really got to wonder what's going on over there, because yeah, they really need to turn that team around quick, because they are very close to being 0-3, right? You know, they're 1-2. But the Vikings, an unbelievable job. I think they're going to beat the Giants next week at home, and it's a tough task for the Giants, especially the Vikings defense. By the way, the Vikings defense turns turnovers into touchdowns. They did it again today. I think that's something the Giants really got to be careful for next week. And then you got the Packers. The Packers, you know, started out today, played hot. They lit up the lines on offense with Rodgers. Their defense, I think, is beatable. You know, Stafford and Marvin Jones beat them a couple of times. I think Green Bay is good. They're not great. The Giants could certainly go in there on the right day and beat them. But I think Minnesota is going to be a tough game for them next week. But again, the Giants, you're looking at 2-2. You lose next week. And then, you know, if you go to Green Bay and lose, it could be 2-3. And in a couple of plays, the Giants are literally lucky to be where they are early in the season. So, again, so the Giants, something to watch. I think the NFC, you know, it's wide open. I don't see a dominant team anywhere in the NFC. I think the Vikings, you know, if they could keep their team on the field, I called it on this show about a month ago. I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm sticking to it. I think if you look at the NFC right now, the Vikings are the best team by far. When you look at what else you're out there. I think Seattle came back today. And again, talk about Seattle in a second, because let's move on to the New York Jets. And listen, what can you say about the Jets? Right? I mean, I thought they'd go in and beat – I'm not a big fan of Kansas City, not because they're a rival of my team, the Broncos. I just think Kansas City's an average football team. They got some playmakers on defense. Clearly, you could do six picks today will do that to you, even though I think Fitzpatrick handed them most of them. But their offense is bland. It's not an offense that scares you at any level. I don't care what anyone says. Alex Smith's not going to go in there and lose sleep over playing him. And the Jets were in that game to the end because the Chiefs' offense doesn't have enough firepower to put you away. So the Jets hung around, and just Fitzpatrick just played awful. I mean, what can you say? And I love it. Jet fans, you were screaming, please sign this guy. What are you doing? What are you doing? Now, what are you saying now? Huh, Jet fans, you happy? You happy you got Ryan Fitzpatrick? Six interceptions? And listen, I look at their coach, Bowles. This is like leaving a pitcher in who gave up 14 runs in two innings. Get the guy out after the fourth pick. Why are you leaving him in the football game? He looked miserable at the end. Some of those picks at the end were just terrible. And when Derek Johnson returned that pick for a touchdown, guys, go back. I just watched the replay. Watch Anua try to tackle him. Oh! That was pathetic. This guy did five hands on him. I know you're a wide receiver. Tackle the guy. For God's sake, a little effort. It was awful on that interception return. They were done. That ended the game right there. But just a terrible performance. You know, I think the Jets defense obviously held him in there. The Jets defense can make plays, especially that line. But boy, oh boy. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you just don't throw six interceptions in a game. I mean, what's Geno sitting there thinking? I mean, Geno's probably like, all right, I'm not so good, but I never threw six interceptions in a football game. That's just inexcusable to me. And I think the Jets, again, we talked about it, right, and a couple of other shows, they are in that part of the schedule now. That should scare the bejesus out of everybody, right? So you're 1-2. You beat a Bills team that I could not believe what they did to the Cardinals today. You got Seattle coming in here next week. Now, just Russell Wilson could be out with a knee sprain. But, you know, it's early. But they lose Russell Wilson, the Jets should beat them next week. But if Russell Wilson's healthy, the Seahawks look great today. Granted, they played San Francisco, but they killed them. They come in here next week with that defense. I mean, Fitzpatrick could throw 12 interceptions next week against that team. So, you know, if Wilson's in there, the Jets are in a hell of a lot of trouble the next 3 weeks. Hey, you got Pittsburgh, who played like crap today. Unbelievable. Pittsburgh, I suppose, a contender for the AFC, goes in and gets blown out by Philadelphia. I mean, not even close. They lost by 30 points to the Eagles. We'll talk a bit about some of the NFL games in a second. I mean, we'll ask Terrence when he comes on what he thinks. But, wow, I mean, some of these numbers today were unbelievable. Cardinals, the Steelers, I mean, just absolute stink bombs. Very surprising. I'm sure a lot of people lost a hell of a lot of money today betting some of these games when you look at some of the results. But again, the Jets, listen, you got Seattle, the Steelers, the Cardinals coming up. I mean, the Cardinals, you know, have been very beatable as evidenced today in Buffalo, but, you know, by sure, no lock the Jets going out to Arizona unless on a primetime game playing them. That's still going to be a tough matchup regardless. I mean, the Jets, you know, you got to win one of these next three games, right? You lose these three, and boy, oh, boy, it's going to be a tough place to be in New York if you're a New York Jets fan. Or Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we talked about it, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick got the 1 year, $12 million. He wanted all this money. I mean, what's McGanahan? McGanahan sitting there saying, all right, you know, it stinks, we're losing, but boy, am I glad I had to pay this guy all that money. Wow, six picks. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is having his chance to demonstrate to the NFL he's a top quarterback that was looking for $12, $15 million a year on a 3-, 4-, 5-year deal. They're going to get it today, buddy. Right, this is what you wanted. He's got to bounce back. A lot of football left. Season isn't over, but boy, you need a couple of good games to come back from a bomb like this, that's for sure. Right? And when you look around the NFL today, folks, it's unbelievable the type of results. I could not. Buffalo, who, I mean, we were all saying this team's going for a number one pick. They blew. They didn't just beat the Cardinals. They blew out the Cardinals. 33-18. By the way, folks, you want to call in next 15 minutes before Terrence comes on, 631-888-8811. Again, 631-888-8811 is the number here. Buffalo shocking over Arizona. I could not believe Arizona would go into Buffalo and play that bad. Palmer was terrible. Good job by the Bills, though. You know, you never thought it. Oakland over Tennessee, 17-10. Titans had a couple of plays that they could have had called back. One touchdown at the end that they had reversed. Raiders, listen, Raiders 2-1. They're playing good football. They obviously had a tough game against Atlanta next week. I think, the Raiders have not played anyone spectacular yet. They played the Saints, the Falcons, and the Titans. I like to see them against a better team. We'll see what that looks like. Miami, boy, oh boy, Miami should have lost that game today to Cleveland. Literally brought a kicker in off the line at Walmart. Cody Parkey comes in, missed three field goals, missed one at the buzzer. The Dolphins win. Dolphins shouldn't be proud of themselves. They should be 0-3. Tough loss for the Browns. Dolphins, like I've said in the beginning of the season in my preview, Dolphins are the same marginal average football team they always are. I think nothing to worry about there. Baltimore 3-0. Beat the Jaguars. Everyone was calling the Jaguars a sleeper team. I said, listen, the Jaguars, give them some time. Boy, they might need more than in a year. 0-3, losing to Baltimore today, 19-17. Clearly, something not right in Jacksonville. Baltimore 3-0. I'm surprised Baltimore's doing that well. They got a couple tough games coming up, but they're back. Joe Flacco healthy, got some weapons now. Be interested to see what Baltimore does against a couple of better teams coming up. Green Bay over Detroit by 7. We mentioned that. Green Bay was up huge in this game, almost blew it at the end. Now, Detroit's kind of feisty, but again, Detroit's got some problems on both sides of the ball. Again, one of those teams that's okay, but they're probably not going to be there at the end. Denver, 29-17 over Cincinnati. Listen, I think the Denver Broncos are the best team in football. Clearly, those who know me wouldn't be surprised, but I truly think they are. They're 3-0. Defense is dominant. Trevor Siemian played unbelievable today. 4 touchdowns on the road at Cincinnati. It's supposed to be a tough place to play. The Broncos at one point were down by a point. They missed it. They missed an extra point. They were down 17-16. They came back and put up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Yeah, just a great job. Siemian played great. They stopped the Bengals when they had to. And I think, listen, Denver, New England, 2 best teams in the NFL, no contest. Right, when you look at the Patriots, right, great job Thursday night. Unbelievable what that team could do. I want to talk to Terrence a bit about his time with obviously it didn't work out for him, but I'm curious about his views on Belichick and that team because, I look at the Texans who I thought, all right, listen, Houston's got some talent. Let's see what they could do, go in a big spot. That game wasn't even close Thursday. It was awful. Awful. I was watching Modern Family reruns. By the time halftime was over, that game was terrible job by Texans. And then the Patriots, as much as I don't like that whole persona and the Belichick, I think they've cheated too much. I'm not used to trans, but boy, I mean, they really beat the heck out of Houston. And to me, Denver and New England are the 2 best teams in the NFL. I would be shocked if we see them in the championship game in January. We talked about Minnesota over Carolina. I'm a big supporter of what Minnesota's doing. I think Minnesota, they can keep their bodies healthy because they've lost a lot of guys. They lost their the defensive tackle. Sharif Floyd's out. They lost Khalil. Obviously, we know about Adrian Peterson. I mean, there's only so much you could take in the NFL before your team really falls apart. And I think that the Vikings are doing an unbelievable job with the injuries that they had. We talked about the Giants. Seattle, 37-18 over the Niners. The Seattle dominated that game from the first quarter. 14-3 quick. Never looked back. I think the Seahawks wanted to prove a point today. They did. Clearly the story there is Russell Wilson. If he's hurt with that knee, clearly their season is in peril. Now, you don't replace Russell Wilson with Trevor Boykin out of TCU. I think that that's going to be what you're going to watch next week. Jet fans are going to be all over that if Russell plays or not. He's tough. He usually doesn't miss games. We'll see what happens. Jets down, lose 24-3. We, I don't know what else we could say for that. The Colts get on the board, 26-22 over the Hard Luck Chargers. Big play, Luck to Hilton, like 66-yard touchdown at the end of the game or near the end of the game to win that. The Colts needed that desperately. I don't think the Colts are a threat to anyone. They clearly can score points at times. Their defense is not good. They have a couple of holes. They don't have a great running back. You know, they have Frank Gore back there, who's obviously aging. But, Colts needed that way. The Chargers, yeah, they've had a lot of injuries, losing Keenan Allen and a couple of other people. They are, they lost Woodhead. And the Chargers, again, they're an average football team. They'll go and give a team a good game, I think, every week. But they're just not, they're not equipped to be a deep run playoff team. And then the last game, well, two more. The Eagles, 34-3 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, is it time to think that these Philadelphia Eagles are for real? Right? I mean, Carson Wentz has played great. I mean, this is not a bad team he beat today. The Pittsburgh Steelers, people were talking about, in the conversation with New England and Denver. Oh, Pittsburgh, boy. I don't see the Broncos or the Patriots going into Philadelphia and losing by 31. I'm sorry. Right? The Patriots wouldn't do that. The Broncos defense wouldn't allow it. Pittsburgh cannot put up a stink bomb like they did today and expect to contend. I mean, the Eagles are playing better, but boy, you don't score 3 points against Philadelphia and give up 34. Right, that's just a terrible job by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Got to really wonder what's going to happen next week. They're playing Kansas City, who you obviously had the game against the Jets. That should be a good game next week to see one of those teams will be headed in the right direction, and one certainly will be looking for answers when they lose that game next week. And then lastly, a game that was delayed by weather down in Florida, just finished before I went on the air, the Rams. Big win over the Bucks. And the Rams now, after playing absolutely miserable and costing me a football pool that first week, have come back and played great the last 2 weeks. And they really, put up a lot of points on the Bucks today. Gurley had 2 touchdowns. Keenum threw a couple. Nice job there. And the Buccaneers, they score a lot of points. Winston, I think, is going to be great at 400 yards, a whole bunch of touchdowns, but couldn't put it in at the end. And the Rams win that one. And now you got the Cowboys and the Bears going on. Last check, that's where the Cowboys are up 7-0. So again, folks, I think when you look at the week in football, I think it, what I find is a lot of the teams that are good again, and it's not like, well, who's emerging, right? Like I said, AFC, I'm Denver, New England right now, and I don't think it's much. I don't think it's close. Like Pittsburgh is there. If they could play a little bit better, but today, certainly makes you wonder. I think it's Denver, New England. You got some Raiders are emerging. Baltimore is playing okay. And obviously you got Kansas City that's hanging around, but I think they're very beatable. But to me, New England and Denver, the cream of the crop. Not just AFC, of the NFL. And you look over at the NFC right now, and I said this in the preview. During the summer, I supported the Vikings to make the Super Bowl. I'm sticking to that prediction. Right now, because of their injuries, they could be vulnerable, but I don't think you could make an argument. They are by far the best team in the NFC. And I think when you look around, it's really anyone's race to get in. The Eagles, I mean, will they keep this up? Who knows? The Giants, again, have played okay, but a couple plays away from being winless. Dallas should beat Chicago tonight. They'll be 2-1, right? And they're playing much better than anyone thought. So I think you got an NFC, you got Green Bay in there. You're going to have Carolina. I don't know. I think Carolina's in a lot of trouble. I think there's something just not right in that football team. And I think that they really have to start getting hot or else this season could be kind of interesting as well. And then you got Seattle out west, right? Seattle 2-1. I think that they, beat a team that they should have beat. They always beat at home. San Francisco today, Russell Wilson clearly has to be healthy for them to be effective. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over at Seattle and Wilson. But again, NFC's anyone's. If Minnesota stays healthy, maybe they make a trade. I mean, maybe they pick up a guy that could help them because they have a team that could make the Super Bowl. They have a defense that could really give anyone a hard time in the Super Bowl. But I do think right now, it's early, of course. We have to look at injuries towards the end of the year. But I think the cream of the NFL sits in the AFC. Yeah, with Denver and New England by a long shot. So, again, folks, we'll have Mr. Terrence Knighton joining us on the other side of the break at 9:30. If you want to call in before then, 631-888-8811. A couple of other quick points. Hockey camps open. New York Rangers getting on the ice. New York Islanders. be interesting to see what goes on with both teams this season, right? The New York Rangers signed a bunch of young kids, clearly a team in a bit of a transition, and it'll be interesting to see how that team gels. Yeah, I'm a Ranger fan, but I do think the Rangers are a little bit of trouble this year. I think they're a little old on defense. I think Lundqvist has played a lot of games. I think he'll hang in there. But, I'm thinking we're on the wrong side of the playoff front this year for the New York Rangers. I really think that they need somebody who has been okay, need to become great. Kreider, Stepan, I think we know what we have with him, whether it's Kreider, whether it's Hayes, whether it's one of these young kids, whether it's Vesey or Bucenovic comes up hot. I think at the end of the day, the Rangers are in a bit of a transition period, and I think it could be a tough season over on 34th Street. And the New York Islanders, listen, they lost a lot of players. I think a lot of guys that were core to that team last year are gone. Molson, Martin, and a couple of others. I do think that the Islanders will be interesting to see. They've added a couple of guys, Ladd, a little old, and Chimera, and some others. But I think it'll be interesting to see how the Islanders respond to last year's success and the losses on the roster this year, right? I think it'll be a very interesting season for them in Brooklyn. But it's good to have hockey back. It's, obviously early on in the camp. This world, this hockey classic thing, I'm not a big fan of those. Honestly, I don't like baseball when it does the World Baseball Classic. I don't like this World Cup of hockey. I just don't see why they do it, quite honestly. Right? The Olympics are cool, right? The Olympics is nice, because it's part of the whole Olympic ceremony. It's a part of the whole, all the pageantry of the Olympics. Yeah, I got into that. I like to see that. I think the players, they get off for a couple of weeks. They're into it. This is like, does anyone really care? There's a bunch of 22-year-olds and under playing for Team North America. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know Canada. I was up in Canada for business last week in Toronto. Everywhere you look, it's hockey, hockey, hockey. But outside of there, I don't know. Beside real diehard hockey fans, anyone really care about the World Cup of Hockey? Honestly, I'm just looking at it as a Ranger fan, or if you're an Islander fan, you really want John Tavares, if you're an Islander fan, getting hurt playing that? No, you don't, right? So to me, at the end of the day, you really want to make sure you get your guys in for the regular season. What? So Canada's probably going to win. Again, Canada usually wins these things. It's like the U.S. in basketball in the Olympics, right? They always win. So if they had the World Cup of Basketball before the season, would anyone really care? Watch the U.S. run up, big scores, and then until they play Spain, and instead of winning by 50, they win by 20. Right? And also, most of the guys in basketball, even the World Baseball Classic, all the good guys don't even play. Right? So I'm just not a big fan of these things. To me, I would cut them off. I think it's a complete colossal waste of time, and you're not really gaining much unless you're really that desperate for some competitive hockey. But again, it's hockey season. Camps are open. We'll talk more about hockey as we're on the journey as we head on Sports Talk in the fall. But coming up after the break, we'll have Terrence Knighton. We'll talk to Terrence, affectionately known as Pot Roast, from his home in Arizona. Talk a bit about the games today. Talk a little bit about his career so far as it spanned Jacksonville, Denver, Washington, and he spent this camp with the Patriots. Talk to him about his thoughts on the games today a little bit, and see where we go from there, and see maybe what Terrence is up to in terms of other opportunities to get back into the NFL. But just to kind of wrap up before the break, we're looking forward to a couple of big games coming up next week. I think it's going to be very interesting. Jets, Seattle, Giants, Vikings. If you're a New York sports fan, you lick your wounds. Right, these are tough losses. The good thing about the NFL, you don't got to play tomorrow because it'd be tough to come back for what happened today, especially for the Jets at Kansas City. But you go back, new game, new start next week. You're at home. You got Seattle coming across country, which is never easy. Right, look at the stats of teams coming across country, never easy. So I'll be back right after the break with Terrence Knighton.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paul Spiteri Show, and we're here for the last half hour. And joining me on the phone from Arizona, Mr. Terrence Knight. And Terrence, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Terrence, I'm going to do one thing that I watched a couple of your interviews, and I'm going to do the one thing that usually never happens. Is I'm not going to ask you about where you got the name Pot Roast. All I can tell you is what I read and heard is good thing you weren't eating like I don't know, pumpkin soup or something that day, because the teammate who gave you that nickname certainly was better to be called pot roast than if you were having asparagus or something that morning.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it was coming back from a plane trip, and I had ordered pot roast, and, you know, being a rookie at the time, you don't really have any say over anything, so it's just a name that surprisingly stuck with me 8 years later.
Yeah, so Mr. Knight and everyone, a Connecticut boy, born on the 4th of July. And grew up right outside of Hartford, Terrence?
Yeah, I grew up in Hartford, went to high school in Windsor, Connecticut. It's a small suburb, you know, right outside the city. And, yeah, born and raised a New England kid.
Yeah, and played his college ball down in Philly for the Temple Owls. How was your experience down there, Terrence?
It was up and down, man. My freshman year, I went 0-12. My sophomore year, 1-11. Then went 4-8. Then went 5-7. Then when I left, you know, they had two back-to-back seasons, you know, winning 10 games. But it was quite an experience. You know, it made me grow up quick, going through a lot of adversity, you know, with football and, you know, a program that, you know, is finally getting some recognition now. And, you know, taking the long road to achieve my dream of playing in the NFL, coming from such a, you know, a school where a lot of players don't get drafted.
Yeah, man, I was looking. So you played there, right? And you're relatively unheralded out of high school, right? You're, I think, like a 2-3-star recruit. And you get to Temple, right? You obviously didn't play in a hotbed of college football. But tell me, when you're playing there, when do you start to feel like you can be drafted and the NFL's kind of on you? Like, do you get the sense in your senior year? You know, I'm sure you start meeting and hearing things. But when did you start kind of getting a vibe that you could be drafted?
Well, after my junior year of you know, making our conference and, you know, just obviously kids, you know, Googling themselves and seeing mock drafts and things like that, you know, and you kind of, you know, you start to think about those things going into your senior year and, you know, what type of year you would need to have to get drafted and, you know, just what your stock is and what's going on. And, you know, surprisingly, going into my senior year, I was on a few mock drafts and, you know, a few preseason, you know, all conference teams and things like that. So, you know, I know that, you know, it being seven rounds and playing D tackle, that's a position I can get drafted at. And, you know, surprisingly, I got called the third round, whereas I thought I was going to go a little later, maybe fifth, sixth, even into, you know, free agency.
How is the combine, Terrence? Did you go to the combine?
Yeah, man, the combine had more coaches than I had fans at the game in college. And, it was cool, but it was just, you know, they keep you up all day, keep you up all night, and, you know, you got a balance between, you know, eating right and staying stretched and, you know, performing your best while also, you know, focusing on your interviews and the Wonderlic test and, you know, making sure you're presenting yourself as a, you know, a young man that can represent the organization well at the same time, you know, being in tip-top shape.
Yeah, I mean, you hear some of the stories. It's like you guys have pieces of meat running around there with the numbers and all these guys watching you. It's got to be a little nerve-wracking, right? I mean, obviously, you know, you have your college career on tape, and, you know, they've scouted you for years. But then you go there, and it's like just it's amazing. And the NFL's turned it into, you know, a week-long TV show on top of it. So it's got to be quite nerve-wracking for a young kid even to go through all that.
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking, man. And, you know, like during your 40, you just look up and see hundreds of coaches just holding their clock out. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, you get in your stance and you're a little nervous about that. And, you know, you're sitting in your room and your phone can just ring at any time. And, you know, that means come down and do a meeting. So it's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of guys are usually running around. And, you know, for the more high-profile guys, you know, they got off-the-field stuff and media and things like that. So it's a lot going on. And, you know, a lot of times the things in the NFL, you know, it's more of a show than, yeah, you know, what it is for most people.
So, Tess, third round, you get picked by the Jags, right? And obviously that's where I think your relationship with Jack Del Rio starts, right, who obviously had a lot of faith in you. Tell me a bit about your couple of years with the Jaguars and what it was like and playing. Now, you played obviously for Jack there, then again in Denver. Tell me a bit about your experience in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville was almost like the same experience I witnessed at Temple. Jacksonville had a few good years, but, you know, obviously, you know, when they drafted Blaine Gabbert, you know, it turned into a rebuilding thing, you know, when you take a young quarterback like that in the first round. And, you know, we had our ups and downs, one good year where we could have made the playoffs and lost to Peyton in, you know, week 16. So, you know, I had a great time there. It was, you know, it wasn't quite the experience I thought I was going to get in the, you know, seeing the NFL when I first got there. But I just remember my rookie year, my first game, you know, I lined up in my stance and I'm in front of Jeff Saturday and Peyton Manning is making checks. So, you know, it was definitely an experience I remember.
You're like twice the size of Saturday. Did you run him over at least?
he still had a few good years left in him at the time. So it was a, and I think we lost by a field goal, but it was just crazy just seeing Reggie Wayne and Peyton Manning and, you know, just all these guys you see in college and growing up and, you know, trying to get the Peyton was, you know, was difficult, but he was definitely one of the guys that was on your list, you know, growing up and being a D lineman in the league that you want to get to.
Yeah, yeah. You know, his jersey was rarely dirty. So after Jacksonville, you go to Denver. Now, I am a professed big Denver Bronco fan, right? So I've watched them since probably before you know, when you were a little kid. And I go back to like 78 when, even though I grew up in New York, I'm a New York boy, but I always rooted for them. I liked Lyle Alzado. I stuck with him. You go to Denver, right? I obviously followed them over there. Get this Super Bowl, right, against Seattle. Right? We'll talk a bit about that game in a second. But tell me about your experience when you first get there. Obviously, Del Rio goes. He becomes a defensive coordinator, you know, under Fox. Tell me about your experience and you know, how you ended up in Denver, what you liked over there. And then I want to talk a bit about a couple of the games. But tell me a bit about your experience in Denver.
Denver, that was probably the funnest time I've had in the NFL. Just being around a lot of great players. The city is just all about Denver Broncos. I mean, it's the loudest stadium I've played in. And being able to go to a Super Bowl, obviously, it didn't work out how we wanted it to. But, you know, I was able to, you know, reboost my career coming from Jacksonville, playing in the Super Bowl, being a starter. AFC Championship game, I get a sack on Tom Brady. And yeah. Next thing you know, I got Bridgestone commercials, and you know, I'm one of the guys that has a podium at the Super Bowl. So it was definitely one of the highlights of my career. And you know, I always tell younger guys, you know, a lot of guys think about the big contracts and things like that. But you know, you're going to make money in this league, but you know, the time that you have in the league and the things that the memories that you can gain, you know, is just as important. And you know, it was nothing like, you know, waking up, you know, in the morning and knowing that I'm going to play in the Super Bowl. It's nothing like it.
Yeah, so it's funny, Terrence, the Super Bowl obviously was here in New York, right? Which was, you know, and I want to get your thoughts on that in a second because I sat back, you know, that game obviously was a horror show, right, for you guys, you know, in Denver.
Right.
And you, and it being in New York, right? And obviously, it's your one Super Bowl that you've made, and you know, hopefully, you make more. But what do you guys think of the Super Bowl being in New York? Because when you think about it, right, I mean, you go to the obviously you go to the fan stuff, but the fan stuff was in the city. It's usually much more kind of spread out and nice. Like I've been to Super Bowls down in Miami where it's really cool. It just feel like New York. I don't know. I just didn't feel like the Super Bowl should be here. What do you guys think about it being here?
You know, obviously, marketing wise for the NFL. You know, it's great to put, you know, football in New York City just because of the things that it can do marketing-wise, like I said, and off the field. But as a player, it was kind of hectic, man. You wanted to, you know, go out and see the city, but you had to worry about whether you're going to be in two-hour traffic or you had to, you know, you wanted to go to these events where you can, you know, get free things and meet people. But like I said, you had to worry about traffic and then adjust, you know, you didn't know whether it was going to be a blizzard game day. You didn't know whether it was going to be 80 degrees. We didn't know if it was going to rain. So it was just so many things you had to worry about and focus on during that week. And, you know, it was cool to, you know, play in New York and me being close to home. But I think they need to stick to more of the, you know, the hot area teams, stadiums and things like that just to, you know, accommodate the teams a little bit better when preparation.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, the NFL, as you know, it's better than me. Doesn't I don't think it needs any more marketing or ability, but they do such a good job of it already. But so let's talk a bit about that game for a second. Obviously, you know, I never in a million years thought the result would turn out the way it did. I thought that, obviously, you know, the offense you guys had, I mean, the season they had was unbelievable. Right? It was just they were amazing what they did. Seattle clearly was tough, but what? And from a defensive perspective, I remember you had a lot of injuries, right? You guys, Von Miller didn't play in that game. Chris Harris didn't play in that game. You guys were down, right? You had Phillips playing, I think, starting and ending that Super Bowl. You guys were banged up pretty bad. I know you had a couple of guys in the secondary that were out. But tell me about when you're playing that game, you know, where did you – I mean, obviously from the first snap, but listen, you had plenty of time to recover from that. Where did you say to yourself, holy, you know what, yeah, we're in for a real problem here?
You know, from the first snap, I didn't know what happened. But, you know, I was like, you know, it's 2-0, big deal. I mean, we have the best offense to ever, yeah. You know, step on the football field. And, you know, just to come out of that game, it was just like, you know, you're hoping to wake up and it was a nightmare, man. And it was just, you know, I would say probably like the second, maybe the third, yeah, the third quarter after they returned. Percy Harvin had the kick return, man. I was just like, man, we're just this, you know, we're digging ourselves a grave that we're not going to be able to get out of. And, you know, Percy Harvin, he didn't play all year, so it was hard to scout him. And then, you know, we had a lot of injuries that year, and it was just, you know, our offense was carrying us and our defense was doing just enough. But, you know, that year was the, you know, the birth of the Legion of Boom and, you know, now teams are, I think, starting to refocus more on having, you know, good defenses because in the past few years you see that the better defense are going to win the game.
Right, and you look at last year, I'm obviously, you know, I was sad that you didn't end up because I think, you know, just fought, listen, as a fan following the Broncos, you look like you were big guy in the community, kind of the leader of the defense, you know, one of the fun guys, the spokes, you know, kind of the spokesperson. And obviously couldn't get a deal done with Elway. You know, what happened there? Is it just kind of a money thing? Was it just weren't fitting the cap? I mean, Elway makes some tough decisions, right? You've seen him, and I've seen him jettison some guys, you know, and he's just like, hey, you know, not going to work out. And he just moves on with his plan. Like, kind of tell me a bit about those conversations, if you could.
I wanted to be back, man. I wanted to stay in Denver my whole career. They brought in new coaches. With Wade Phillips on defense and Kubiak as the head coach. And, you know, Wade Phillips has a different style of D-tackle that he likes to play. And, you know, I was doing everything in my power to try to come back. Just like you said, you know, I was in the community. I was a captain the year before. And, you know, obviously one of the main reasons we went to the Super Bowl and, you know, was the vocal leader on the defense, you know, me and DeMarcus Ware. So I thought, you know, things were going to work out, but, you know, NFL is a business, and you know the coaches came in, like I said, and you know had their guys, and they had a young guy, Sylvester Williams, in the first round, who you know had to play being a first rounder. So it was a lot of different things, but you know I was cheering for those guys, and you know I seen them in the off season, and they were like, man, just it didn't seem right without you there, and you know, things like that. But it is what it is, and I was happy for Denver, and you know, no hard feelings for that city or that organization. And you never know, they might call me back, so I would love to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's let me ask you a question, Terrence. Like, obviously, you know, you were in Washington last year, there on a one-year deal, right, and it didn't work out. You go to camp this year in New England. I'll talk to you a bit about that in a second. But it's one thing I work in the software business, right? I work in fintech. And listen, you go through office politics, and, you know, you see people get promoted and this and that for, you know, typical things that you always question, well, why did he or she do this and that, et cetera. But I look at your situation now, right, and I'm sure you're not alone in this case, right, where, you know, you've had a lot of success in the NFL, right? You've obviously been a starter. You've been in the league a couple of years. Now you're sitting out without a job. Is it, tell me, is it purely based on your performance? Is it, can it be political? Can it be like you get a rep from one GM or coach and it filters out? Like, is there some of that goes on? Or is it purely, hey, you perform, you get signed, you get on a team? Like, or is it a little, could it be a little bit political?
I think there's a lot of politics in it. I think, you know, a lot of people forget that a lot of these coaches and a lot of these GMs, you know, are best friends and play golf together. So, you know, they're going to war on Sundays with each other. But, you know, at the end of the day, they talk about a lot of players. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, I mean, I couldn't see what would stop me from being on a team. But, you know, you just try not to get into the mind of the coaches and, you know, the GMs and just go about your business because, you know, it can stress you out and just, you know, have you, you know, worrying about something that's out of your control. So you just try to, you know, just make sure that you're doing what you have to do and just wait for your name to be called.
Yeah. So in Washington last year, right, you were there a year, and I know some of your buddies like Duke Iheanacho and a couple of other guys are saying, you know, why aren't you back? Tell me about your experience in Washington. Was it a place that you enjoyed playing, or is it kind of a, you know, it was great, but, you know, maybe the coaching staff wasn't a good fit for you? Tell me a bit about Washington.
I had a great time in Washington. Obviously, I was playing with my best friend, a guy who I've grown up with my whole life, Chris Baker. And, you know, we won the NFC East Championship, you know, one of the hardest divisions to win a division crown in, and, you know, one of the most popular divisions in all of sports. And Jay Gruden's a great guy. He's a player's coach. He allows, you know, the players to lead the team, and he holds everyone accountable. And, you know, definitely somewhere I wanted to be back, you know, after a year, but they told me they weren't going to bring me back. And, you know, I decided, you know, to go to New England and to try to win a championship and be a part of that organization, somewhere that, you know, I've always wanted to be since I was a kid, you know, being a New England guy. But, you know, that didn't work out. And just for scheme reasons, I did everything they asked me to do. And they have a different way of, you know, playing their D tackles. So they made the change, and, you know, I see it all over Twitter with the fans and Chris and Duke trying to get me back. And, you know, I hope they just do a little bit more pushing, and hopefully I can, you know, go back to Washington and try to, you know, make things better there.
Well, yeah, they might have saved their season a little bit today, right, with a big win. Terry, so in New England, right, you were there, and I saw an article that you were interviewed in, I don't know if it was the Boston Globe, one of the papers up there, about your time with Belichick and company. And it sounded like, you know, you kind of put a nice light over Coach Belichick, that he really is a good guy, one of the guys, but when it's time for business, it's time for business, and there is no messing around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you look at him on TV when he's doing the interviews and things like that. From the outside looking in, you know, you may think, you know, he's like that all the time, and I think it's fair to say, because I mean, he really doesn't like doing interviews and things like that. But you know, he's definitely a genius, man, when it comes to the football thing, and he breaks down every aspect of the game every time. You're in the game, no matter if it's first, second, or third down. It's a situation you've been in practice, and everyone's thinking the same thing just because he pushes his idea so much, his coaching style. And, you know, I've just never seen someone practice so many situations. that prepares team for so many situations, whether it's in the meetings or on the field. And, it, you know, you get to see why this team is successful and that, when we step out of football and we're, bonding, he's right there in the mix and laughing and joking with guys and, whether it's shooting, basketball in the locker room, he's a part of it. You know what I mean? And it's just something, you don't see outside of that building, but when you get in the building, you see why they're successful and why, players love playing for him because it's not, he's not the big bad Belichick what everybody thinks, once you get in the building.
Yeah, only he could pull off some of those things that he wears on the sideline. He's like 1980s cutoff sweatshirts, and he also like dresses like I don't really give a when you think about me. He's just interesting guy from the outside, but clearly he knows what he's doing. Terrence, are you close to anything? Like, tell me a bit about now. Like, does your agent call you and say, "Hey, I got a call from this guy. You might be calling you for this." Like, how does that work?
A few teams have called, but. It's just been teams just checking in, just saying that they're interested, and if, things happen to, if anything happens to them roster-wise, then they would definitely be open to bring me in. So, right now I'm just waiting, and that's just all, that's just all talk and agent talk. But, for the most part, I'll just be, here in Arizona where it's about 150 degrees every day working out, staying in shape, man, and just, hopefully get on with a team and, whether now or later, if they're making the playoff run or, a team that's established themselves, I feel like I can help in any way.
Well, listen, I like to close all my interviews, Terrence, with a lightning round of a bunch of quick questions and I get your answers. But before I do that, while you have this downtime, I think it'd be a good time for you to read up on basketball and just, make sure you don't embarrass yourself in the league because, I think it would be a crime if a guy like you, came way behind a guy like me and some of the others. So I just use your time now and, you might want to look at Chris Bosh and see if he gets back on the court, and a couple of those other guys.
I have him on my board as a projected top five. So
well, you said mock draft before. I'm like, hey, keep running those mock drafts and finding, where you're going to draft those New Jersey, those Brooklyn Nets early in the draft. But just let me ask you, tell me the toughest offensive lineman you've gone up against.
Toughest offensive lineman I would have to say is Marshall Yanda in Baltimore. He's very athletic, very strong, stays after you, and usually with O-linemen, you get, he's either really strong and not athletic or athletic, and not strong. And I would say him and a guy who I'd say, probably the best interior offensive lineman right now, I think, is Trey Turner in Carolina. He gives you a mixture of athletic ability and strength and has long arms and is a real young guy. So I'll have to go with those two guys at guard.
Tell me, so you're – the best player you've either played with or against, like a guy you're on the field and you're saying, holy, this guy's unbelievable. Who comes to mind? Any position?
I'm going to go with Von Miller and Peyton Manning. Obviously that year, Peyton broke every record. And just watching him work in practice, watching him prepare off the field, on the field, and meetings. And it was just an unbelievable show to watch on the sidelines, just seeing him throw over 50 touchdowns and breaking every record and, us going to the Super Bowl that year and obviously he has a long list of records, but it was just great to watch him that year just from my perspective. And Vaughn Miller is probably the most athletic human being I've ever seen. Great personality, guy I still talk to. He's like a brother to me, but I've never seen anyone ever get off the ball as quick as him. Bend the corners, as good as he does, and just have that it factor that you just can't teach. You can't, it's just hard to find guys like that. And you see why he went second in the draft, and now you see why he has a quarterback contract and Super Bowl MVP, and he deserves it, man. He's a very special person. It's just hard to put any one label on Von Miller because he can do anything.
That's awesome. Terry, tell me the biggest trash talker you've ever played against.
Biggest trash talker. I'm going to go with Steve Smith. I think I think any defense that plays against him wants to hurt him or not really hurt him, but just shut his mouth up and be the aggressor and not let him get in your head. Just because he's definitely going to try to do that. He's really good at it. And You know, I recently did Family Feud with him, and, you know, we walked up to the thing where, you know, a little head-to-head thing, and he didn't want to shake my hand, and, you know, it's just a mentality that he has, but I expect that from smaller guys, man. They always have a chip on their shoulder.
That's funny. Which road city you enjoy playing in?
I enjoy playing in Seattle just because it was really loud, and I would say Seattle and... Dallas. I think Dallas is just a fun stadium to play in. There's just a lot going on there. I mean, they got hotels, clubs, restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, women dancing. They got everything, you know, you could want for a football game. And it was a lot of fun playing there. Seattle, you know, I never won there, but it was just one of those places you want to go in and win. And just how, you know, loud it was there and, you know, the intensity that it brought to the game.
What city do you hate going to?
I hated going to St. Louis, man. I didn't, you know, I played there one time, and I was just, you know, just one of those places when you get there, you know, I didn't really have fun in the city hanging out with guys, and, you know, I didn't like the turf that they had. It was just a lot. It was just, you know, it sucks that they don't have a team right now, but, you know, just St. Louis just wasn't a fun city for me to hang out in.
But everyone else I've had on the show, Terrence, always said Philadelphia was the place they hated going.
I love Philly. I went to Temple. I can't say.
Yeah, Philly. I was hoping you didn't say Philly, considering where right. You played college football. Lastly, you're commissioner for the day. You get the suit, the big office in Park Avenue. What's the one thing you would do to change, or anything in the NFL? What would you do if you're commissioner for a day?
If I was commissioner for a day, I would change the. I would change the dress code for the games. I think it's a lot of petty things that go on that fans don't know about. You know, whether a guy's socks is too high, whether the socks are too low, or, you know, you really have to pay attention to your uniform prior to the game, or you'll get a letter the next day for $11,000 saying you had too much white showing on your socks.
So that's crazy.
I think the small petty things that distract guys before the game should be eliminated.
That's crazy. So, Chad, tell me before we wrap up, I got a couple of minutes, your observations of the games today, anything that you stuck out in your mind like, wow, I didn't expect this?
I don't know. I think the good thing about the NFL right now is there's a lot of close games, a lot of games going down the wire. But I would say that surprised me was the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
You know, I totally expected, you know, Philadelphia to go in and, you know, a rookie to finally be a rookie, but he went out there and looked like an all-pro today. So, you know, the same thing right now with Dak Prescott. It feels like I'm watching, you know, Donovan McNabb all over again. So it's just, you know, it's a lot of close games, a lot of things that you can't predict, you know, fantasy football-wise, you know, and things like that. And, you know, I'm really surprised that, you know, I'm not surprised, but you know, I am a little bit surprised that, you know, how well New England's been playing, you know, with the quarterback position. And, you know, you kind of understand that, you know, being a player there, but on the outside looking in, it's like, you know, you might as well give Bill Belichick his gold jacket now.
Yeah. But just let me ask you a question about quarterbacks before we wrap up. Look at how well Prescott's played. Look at what Simeon's doing in Denver, right? And then
right. You
look at Goff, drafted number one. I watched, you know, a good amount of college football. I never particularly thought Goff blew me away when he was at Cal. He goes number one. He's not even close to getting to the field. Prescott, fourth round. I mean, this guy looks like Romo will never get back on the field. Like, how is it? Is it a lot of it circumstance? Like, he just gets into the right place, right system, right town, right surroundings, boom, he goes? Or is it just something else? Because it blows my mind that Prescott goes as late as he did, and he's been unbelievable. Goff can't even get on the field.
I think, you know, by no means am I, you know, a personnel guy or a GM or a scout, but, you know, I feel like when you take a quarterback, whether he's a high draft pick or whether it's a young guy going in to start like Simeon in Denver, I think it has to be a really good locker room around them. I think I have to be a really real good leadership. I think guys have to make it easy for them. I think that's why, you know, certain organizations haven't been successful with certain quarterbacks, you know, just because I feel like, you know, if you throw any rookie in, you know, Cleveland right now, you know, they're having a lot of quarterback problems. Yeah. And, you know, you got, you know, probably the best left tackle in the game, but, you know, are other guys around him making him comfortable? You know, are they yelling at him in practice? Things like that. And me being in Denver, I know that Simeon, you know, I think everyone around him is showing him love. He's comfortable. He has a great, has great leadership in the locker room, so it makes it a lot easier for him.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Terrence, we have to go. I thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we can have you on again. And good luck. Listen, everybody pray and hope you get something signed up soon. And we'll be in touch. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Everyone, thank you for joining Sports Talk 1240. Paul Spiteri wrapping up. We'll be back next week. Everybody have a good week, and we'll see you soon.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.